Elevator 1, my name is Elijah David Mitchell, 12th Hour Apostolic State Attorney and Congregation Matters at the 12th Hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is December the 13th, 2023, it is 3/5/1/2027. This is a new moon Sabbath. We're going to begin our first service today with a song entitled, "Who at My Door Is Standing?" Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, and peace within demanding, where is the voice I hear? Since we were found of falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt hear my calling, I live with thee. Lonely without a place, lonely within am I. While I'm steadily laid, will he not pass me by? Sit me upon the fire, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Joshua found out weary, waiting so long for me. Soothe me the tongues of fallen, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I hope and wait. So who rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweet me the times of falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Okay, we're going to do a prayer start, and we're going to take it from Psalms 81. Sing aloud unto the Yahweh. Make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh of the Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed, on a solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. And that's who we are. We're the house of Jacob, no doubt. Verse 5. This he ordained in Joseph, which was the head of the 10 tribes, for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt. For he was the head of the 12 tribes down in Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pot. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Yahweh thy Yahweh, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, that my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. For the haters of the, now get this, the son Yahshua should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Alright, let's go now and let's read Numbers chapter 10. And let's see what we got there. Okay, it says that in Numbers chapter 10, he said, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves unto thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are head of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not stand, or you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, as the priests, shall blow with the trumpet, and they shall be unto you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpet, and you shall be remembered before the Yahweh, your Yahweh, and you shall be safe from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in the solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, that's the new moons, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offering, and over the sacrifices of your peace offering, that they may be unto you for a memorial before you. I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Okay, so that's the main point we wanted to get there is verse 10, that you blow up the trumpet in wartime, especially on the new moon, beginning of your month, and it's time for it. So Heavenly Father will bless us as we incorporate these things back into His government for these last days, because this is what is going to draw the people. We got to get ourselves prepared for the outpouring of the Pentecostal. And then it says there'll be many thousands converted in one day. And then that just will be the beginning of people joining the kingdom. Now we bless the reading of His Word. We're going to go now into our regular sermon, taken from the 11 Symbolic Codes by B.T. Harker. It's number 5. Pay attention. We have some good things here to point out of new light. And what B.T. Harker is calling a review of the revelation of chapter 11, verse 1 through 13. And it's typology. Okay, so for the purpose of this article is to impress upon the minds of the 12 tribes scattered that the Yahweh has not left His faithful people at sea without chart or compass. He has made plain His course so that His elect may be able to follow Him whithersoever He goeth. Okay, it says, since it is only through the more sure word of the prophecy that the Yahweh plan is conveyed unto us, there is then no other place for us to turn for the enlightenment. And as the Revelation 11 was the last prophecy revealed unto us, and since the first 13 verses refer unto our time, it is more essential, therefore, that we fail not to give it our careful attention. In our review of it, we shall briefly study it verse by verse and conclude with the typology for the prophecy. To get the sitting for the Revelation 11, however, it is necessary first to refer to the last several verses in chapter 10. Revelation 10, 8-10. And the voice which I heard from the heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. These verses foretell William Miller's message explaining the 2300-day prophecy of the Daniel 9:24-27 and Daniel 8:14, by which they understood that Yahshua was to come in October of 1844. This message unto the people, sweet as honey, that was the Millerites, that were called in 1833, First Day Adventist, by William Miller, leading them, when Yahshua did not come onto the earth as the Millerites had expected, the Millerite movement, their disappointment was bitter indeed. Verse 11, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people, and nations and towns and kings. Here is the commission for the Seventh-day Adventists after the disappointment of 1844, that they were to go unto many peoples and nations and towns and kings to prophesy again. Revelation 11, 1-2. And there was given me a reed locked unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of the Yahweh and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. 40 and 2 months, It's 3.5 years. A day for a year equates into 1,260 years. Christ said, following the organization of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, now pay attention to that word movement, because there's only 5 movements for Israel from the time that Moses was called out of Egypt. Moses had the first movement for Israel. Over a 35-year, 100-year period of time, from 1500 B.C., from the first movement with Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, until the last movement. The last movement is the fifth movement, and those 5 movements are found in the parable of Matthew 20, verses 1 through 6. And the last fifth movement is called at the 11th hour. That's the 20 verse 6. And that's who we are, the house of David. We are heading up the last movement of Earth's history. The Adventists had the fourth movement, the next to the last movement before. And they occupied the 10th and the 11th parabolic hours. But the fifth movement, the house of David, occupied the 12th parabolic hour, and the judgment of the living. Whereas the Adventists occupied the fourth movement, from 1844 to 2003, the end of the fermentation. That fourth movement was occupied for the investigation of the judgment of the dead, and the judgment of the dead closed out the sixth seal for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and 2002 started the Passover. That's when it started closing out at Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, with Brother Johnson at the helm. So Brother Johnson was the last messenger with inspiration for the Adventist Church of the Fourth Movement. Brother Johnson closed out the Fourth Movement, Judgment of the Dead, 2002. Elijah David, with Yahshua's presence there, made the change of the guard and the transition of the two economies from the house of Esau to the house of Jacob, and he appointed me as the head then of the new movement, of the fifth movement, and he appointed me as the head of bringing forth the prophecy of the judgment of the living. And when it opened up, by the opening up of the seventh seal of Revelation 8:1, and when we opened up the seventh seal, started the judgment of living. And actually, it's the investigative judgment for the living. Like I said, it may not be. But all I know is Brother Johnson was the first one to be judged under the seventh seal when it opened up. So the fact that he was purged out and brought Gilead Center to a close, it took a year of time to do it. From Passover 2002 to 2003, it took a year's time to do it. And when that time closed out at Gilead Center, that closed, Brother Johnson then was, he even wrote it in his own handwriting that his time would end at the atonement of 2002. He said it closed out 33.5 years of my tenure, he called it. He wrote that in his own handwriting. I'd already prophesied earlier, and he confirmed it. So the judgment of the living then is proof positive that it began at the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, and at the ancient room for the house, Ezekiel 9:7. Having said all that, let us go now back to our reading. It says, following the organization of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, the people are to be measured or numbered. And as there is that one numbered group, namely the 144,000, this verse brings into the light of the sealing of the 144,000 with a message by which the 144,000 are to be measured or numbered. For the court was not to be measured. In other words, the court outside the sanctuary building itself is for the Gentiles. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And then continuing on without a break, it says that the Gentiles would tread the holy city for 42 months. All know that the holy city has been trodden under feet of Gentiles in 70 A.D. Sister White wrote early on in the Great Controversy that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the holy city today. And she said it is the spiritual Israel today. Okay, well, the Jesuits took those statements out of her writings when they took over in 1890. Therefore, the 42 months coming, as it does, after the falling of the latter rain, this 42 months means that there's a 3.5-year period then for spiritual Israel here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. So this 42 months is still in front of us. Clearly and undeniably shows that this prophecy is speaking of the last 42 months that the Gentiles will be allowed to tread the holy city. It's a known fact that the Adventist Church is still in existence today. It's a known fact that she is commingled with the wheat and the tares. Your tares are your Gentiles as well as the heathen, but they are the infiltrators of the Adventist Church. And you have a remnant there that will come out of the Adventist Church from all over the world. The 144,000 is in all of the Adventist churches in all nations of the world. And so the first harvest will be to bring the 144,000 from the four winds of the earth world and bring them to Yahweh's holy mountain. And on the day of a Pentecost, and typical Pentecost, and then they will get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then they will be commissioned to go right back to where they came from and get their brethren, their Gentile brethren, that are harvested number two. The Gentiles, they tried the holy city, the Adventist Church. That's what's going on right now. Just go to any church right now on a Sabbath, Adventist Church, and you will find that they are teaching the Trinity doctrine, that false Catholic Trinity doctrine, the three in one persons of the Godhead. They have teaching that as a replacement to the 2300 days prophecy that Ellen G. White started with, about the cleansing of the sanctuary, the antiquable day of the atonement, the judgment of the dead beginning in 1844. That Trinity doctrine has negated all of that and has taken the place of it. Three in one person, in other words, it trampled the sanctuary system underfoot, and it still has trampled it underfoot in the Adventist Church. And that prophecy of the 1260 years, where it says that they trampled the sanctuary underfoot. That's in Daniel 8 also. Verse 3 to 5. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,000, 2,360 days. Now this is actually, then will be 1260 years from 538 to 1798 is when this takes place. Clothed in the sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, which represents the Old and the New Testament Bible, and the two candlesticks, which shows that this is the house of Israel that has the candlesticks, standing before the Yeshua of the earth. And those Yeshua has come, but he's projected his church and everything out in front of him. Okay, his sanctified leaders, it says they're before him. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. For the two witnesses are here defined to be the two olive trees, the Bible, right here, and the two candlesticks, the true congregation of Israel. And power is given unto them to prophesy 1260 days or 1260 years clothed in the sackcloth. So the Catholic Church took over the world's religious and civil governments in 538. It was called the Catholic Inquisition, and they took it over, and they were in charge then of church and state, and enforced it for 1260 years to 1798. And those that refused to worship the beast during that 1260 years, they hid out in the rocks and the mountains. They fled from the face of that beast. And they went out all over the country, all over the world, into the rocks and the mountains. Okay, and so that was your remnant during the Dark Ages, and they were descendants of the Apostolic Church of the 12 of the Nazarenes, of the 12 Apostles. They were true descendants that kept the feast day during those Dark Ages. They knew Yahweh's government, and they hadn't forgotten how to do it, and they were very faithful to Yahweh's sanctuary system during that 1260 years. That's the reason why it says that woman, the purified woman, was nourished for 1260 years. How was she nourished? By her faithful followers that performed their vows during that 1260 years. They were hunted down and killed like animals, but nevertheless, they were faithful. If any man would hurt the two witnesses, that is the Old and New Testament, a fire will surely proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. Verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. For the two witnesses, the Bible, Old and New Testament, have power to shut up heaven, the source of rain, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. For the angel of the Revelation 10:1, with the book in his hand, 10, and the time of the latter rain. We know this because the angel was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. That rainbow showed that you've had a rain. When a rainbow appears, it means you've already had a rain. And that's talking about the spiritual latter rain. So Yahshua appeared this angel told the cloud of Yahshua, and he's coming at the time of the end of the latter rain. It's showing that the latter rain is over with, that rainbow over his head. Go read Ezekiel 1:26. It gives a description of that rainbow, and that son, one like the Son of Man coming with a rainbow and a cloud. The message that came in the time of the rain are described in the Revelation 10:8-11, 11:1, and they are the messages that have already come to ripen the wheat for the harvest. No other messages have come to accomplish this work, for no more are prophesied. Instead, we are told that these two witnesses have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power to cause to cease the falling of the rain, that is the latter rain, and during the days of their prophecy, 1260 days or 42 months, there is not to be any new message, any new commission, and new movement. So during the 1260 years, 538 AD to 1798, the Catholic Church was totally in charge of all activity as far as new light coming from heaven. There wasn't any new light. There was no new movement during that time period or nothing. Okay. Verse 7 to 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall be in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Yahshua was crucified. Now, we may ask, who is the beast of the bottomless pit? If the star that came from the heaven and opened the pit is the Yahshua, and if the locusts that came out of the pit are the apostolics, all the apostolic believers of the Nazarene Creed. When I say Nazarene, I'm talking about Yahshua. He's the one that came out of Nazareth to take up his ministry at the age of 30. He was living in Nazareth. And then there is no way of escaping to the conclusion that the beast which came out of the bottomless pit is symbolical of the Christendom. Thus it is that the Master was crucified there. Now it says that that way. We're going to change that word Master. We're going to edit this thing here. We're going to take that out and put the real name in there, Yahshua. That is a stress. Thus it is that that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, was crucified there. Let's call a sacred name like who he is. If he's Yahshua, let's call it Yahshua. Let's don't call it Master or Servant or this or that. Let's call it by his name. Now that the city is spiritually called Egypt. Now, when a city is spiritually called Egypt, we're talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church now, is spiritually called Egypt, because she had retreated back to Egypt by 1890, from 1850, and Sister White had a 40-year period of ministry, and she started the Birth of Testimonies in 1850. That started the Advent ministry to the Adventist Church for 40 years of the Three Angels Messages. And so it says that she says that the Adventist Church is steadily retreating toward Egypt, and by 1890 they had finally gotten there. And so that's when the Adventist Church, instead of being taught spiritually Israel, except that the church of the specific work, they're now called spiritual Asia, because they're back in Asia. Okay? So it says, now that the city, the Adventist church, is spiritually called Egypt, it denotes that it is holding Yahweh's people by a false doctrine of the three in one persons of the Godhead, the Catholic Church. They're using that to hold the people in slavery and not allowing them to teach the three angels' messages after 1890. Okay, the name of the Sodom denotes that the Yahweh's true people will have to be rescued from it, as with Lot. Okay. So who's going to be rescued from the Adventist church today? The 144,000. So when it says the name of Sodom denotes that Yahweh's true people will have to be rescued in the 12th parabolic hour during the judgment of the living during the harvest time of Earth's history. That will be the first harvest, the 144,000. They'll have to be rescued from it as was Lot. Two time agreement. But once the 144,000 are rescued out of the Adventist church, then there's no more rescue then out of the Adventist church. Then the 144,000 are empowered to go to all nations, because the Adventist church has come to her end when the 144,000 are harvested. The Adventist church all over the world has come to its end. So all you have left then in the Gentile nations for the Adventist churches were that were once there. You have a remnant there of Gentiles that all the 144,000 Jews got to go and go get them, and without any interference, because the Adventist church is no more in those nations, all over the world. Okay. So it says, now the city is spiritually called Adventure Egypt. It denotes that it's holding Yahweh's people and the slavery, because they have made an image to the beast of the Catholic Church. As long as they can fill the pulpits, these ministers can fill the pulpits, that false, hellish doctrine of the three in one person of Godhead, and as long as they can go every Sabbath stand that pulpit, they can block them, their remnant from hearing the seeding truth of the fifth angel's message. The name of Sodom denotes that Yahweh's true people will have to be rescued from the Seventh-day Adventist Church that has fallen into the hands of the Jesuits. From it, as was Lot, and that's found two times in green, number 15, okay, continuing with the prophecy of the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, verses 9 and 12 to 12 of the chapter 11 of Revelation. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in their grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after the 3 days and a half, the spirit of the life from the Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from the heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up unto heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. For these verses make plain that the end of the 1260 days of the 42 months, when the two witnesses shall have finished their testimony. Verse 7. They are to be killed by the Christendom. Now, who is Christendom? That's your Protestant churches that came out and started protesting one after another. And who and where are they found? They're found in Scripture. Martin Luther being the first protester, called in 1500, named his church the Lutheran Church. And he came out of the Catholic Church and he broke the backbone of the Catholic Church. He broke their power to continue on, and the persecution started going down after that. And then Yahweh raised up one reformer after another with a reformed doctrine to put back in Ezekiel's put in Ezekiel's vessel of Ezekiel 4:9. And he's going to put those six grains of doctrines that represented three doctrines that the Catholic Church had trampled on the foot for 1260 years, weren't allowed to be taught. And they taught, what were those six grains of doctrine? Well, the first one was a wheat grain, righteous by faith, or justification by faith. And anyway, it started with the Church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 1 and 2 and 3. It names those seven churches. Okay. And then you had the second reformer with John Knox, the Holy Spirit, 1543. The third reformer was John Wesley, 1725, where he had the Methodist Doctrine of Grace. And number four was Alexander Campbell, 1810. He had the doctrine of baptism. He had beans. He had lentils. And then William Miller had the 2300 days prophecy in 1833. That was number five, fifth grain. And L. G. White had the Sabbath, 1844, and a 2300-year prophecy. That was the sixth grain of doctrine. Now, those reformers put those six grains of doctrines back into the apostolic church, restored them back to the apostolic church. All right. They said, verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory unto the Yeshua of the heaven, the Son. For a tenth part of the city must represent the Yahshua's part as the tithe, so to speak. For the earthquake, therefore, represents the shaking and the congregation of the Yahshua, the Son. For the remnant who give glory unto the Yahshua, the Son, can only be the faithful who survive the shaking. Thus is the congregation purified. For this earthquake is symbolical of the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9 and coincides with Isaiah 66:16. That's found in Two Timing Greetings number 15. Since there can be no truth where there is no type, we shall now give attention unto the typology of the Revelation 11. Revelation 11 for your and aid as chart is next given, and it is suggested that you shortly follow the chart as you read the explanation given after it. First consideration is given unto the Elijah, whose great burden is for the casting out of the idolatry and for the setting up of the true worship among the Yahweh's people Israel. Okay. For the 3 years and 6 months, or all the 1260 days, or 42 months, there was no rain, James 5:17, Luke 4:25. And during this time, he hid from the face of Ahab. At the end of that period, the great show down on Mount Carmel took place, in which every one of the prophets of Baal were destroyed. And when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said to Yahshua, the Yahweh, the Father, He is the Yahweh. The Yahweh, He is the Yahweh. 1 Kings 18:19. Okay. Next we shall consider Yahshua's ministry. His forerunner was John the Baptist. And both Yahshua and John preached the kingdom of Yahweh was at hand. Now let's do it again. Next we shall consider Yahshua's ministry with his forerunner as John the Baptist as the antitypical Elijah of his day. Yahshua said so. He said he's the Elijah that has already come, answering the disciples' question about that. So now when we read about John the Baptist as a forerunner, we're talking about Elijah has come again. And both Yahshua and Elijah John, now we'll put that Elijah in there, preached the kingdom of the kingdom of the Yahweh the Father was at hand. For the Yahshua's ministry until the time of the crucifixion covered 3.5 years, or 1260 days, or 42 months. Then he was crucified, resurrected, and ascended into the heaven. And as a result of his ministry, there were 120 first fruits, which were the type of the 144,000 today. Okay. Acts 1:15. And afterwards a multitude of such as should be saved. Acts 2:41, 46-47. Finally, we shall consider the Revelation 11, showing how the types meet antitype in this prophecy, and the fulfillment of the testimonies to ministers, page 475, 476. And Malachi 4:5, the latter day Elijah came unto the Yahshua's people. Now it says Yahweh, but I'm changing that to the Son. Unto the Yahshua, the Son's people, with the same burden and work that the first Elijah came to do, by the casting down of the false worship and setting up of the true worship among the Yahshua's people, the Son. His message was basically and namely the same as the Elijah John's, the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of the heaven is at hand. So when you're hearing this message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand again by a prophet, you're looking at the antitypical Elijah again. It has come. So how you measure? In the 1950 General Conference Special, 1954 edition, page 3436, we are plainly told that the Elijah's message came in the publications of the Shepherd Rod. Moreover, since the promised Elijah is to be the last prophet unto the congregation today, and so V.T. Hollis believing that he was the last prophet in his day, and all his followers believed that he was the last prophet, so he preached his message in such a way that he didn't have to say, I am the Elijah that has come. All he had to do is just say, I'm the last prophet. Well, that's what they said about Ellen G. White. They said she was the last prophet. When she died, they said, there's no more prophets, no more times having. Peter Hollis said, well, I'm the prophet that succeeded her. She prophesied about it. Okay. So it says on page 23 to 24, and since he has come and gone, we can know that we are now in the 42 months, or the 1260 days of Revelation 11, when the two witnesses are to prophesy. So V.T. Hollis says, if this Elijah has come and gone, what Elijah? He's talking about John the Baptist 2,000 years ago, apparently. What confusion, what confusion. Just as the Yeshua preached the same message, John the Baptist preached, that is, repent for the kingdom of the Yeshua is at hand. So the message now to be preached during the 42-month period is the same as the last message before it. That it is true worship. Okay, this is establishing the creation calendar with the ordained system of true worship of keeping the daily, twice a day, the two sacred hours of the day. That's the blood and heartbeat of the sanctuary. When you have true worship, and that was established in 1970 by Brother Johnson with the creation calendar. That was restored to the Adventist Church, spiritual Israel of today, and the kingdom of the heaven is at hand, indeed, during the 3.5 years of the Yeshua's ministry. He commissioned his disciples up, and as you go preach him, the kingdom of the heaven is at hand. Now, when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Okay, so today, Yeshua came in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. By his Spirit, he was there. And he was there, that was his presence there at Kermit, Texas. Yeshua himself said these words, even though he was already there with the disciples, the same commission is our during the 3.5 years that the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, are to prophesy in the sackcloth just before the Yeshua suddenly comes unto his temple to purify the sons of Levi. There would be the 144,000 today. As your sons of Levi, how the Adventist Church, Malachi 3:1. Moreover, just as the Elijah, John, now here it is right here, you have to finally put it here, John the Baptist and Yeshua and the types were sent unto Israel, so the antitypical Elijah and two witnesses of the Old and New Testament minister directly on behalf of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know who the lost sheep are? That's 144,000. And Laodicea, and during the time that the two witnesses prophesy, there is no more latter rain, the new message, no new movement, just as there was no rain for 3.5 years in the days of Elijah. So Vitti Hart didn't know it, but he was prophesying what's going to take place in the judgment of the living during the 12th parabolic hour. And all the time he was in the 10th parabolic hour, preaching this judgment of the living, when he was actually in the judgment of the dead period, and he had no direct inspiration to apply the 12th hour, the former of the things that fulfilled in the 12th parabolic hour. He had no inspiration to put it back down to the 10th hour and try to transplant it back there to fulfill with him. It just don't work that way. Okay. It says, all right. Just as the Yahshua was crucified, so the two witnesses will be killed. As the Yahshua was resurrected, so that the two witnesses will be raised. Moreover, as the Yahshua ascended into heaven, so also the two witnesses will be exalted unto heaven. The same power that raised the Yahshua from the dead, you'll find that in Hebrews 13:20. It says, Yahweh the Father raised up his Son through the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant, and will cause his congregation, will raise his congregation and glorify it with him above all principalities, above all power, above every name that is named, not in this world, but also in the world to come. Desire of Ages, page 787. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahshua. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we believed his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. For the prophecy of the Revelation 11 shows that the Yahshua in our day, in the form of his truth, his word, is to be crucified afresh at the hands of his professed people. Now, this happened at Kermit, Texas, with Rutus W. Johnson. He's the one that stood up to the ordained system of true worship in 1970, the creation calendar. He boasted for 7 years from the pulpit. He boasted every chance he got. Yahweh told me to call me in 1968 and 69 and told me to teach my people my government. And he published it. And he published the most beautiful message for the first 7 years down at Kermit, Texas. He said he got his seventh final piece of puzzle to the creation calendar in 1977. So that's when he finished all the mystery of how to put the creation calendar together. And he was so proud, and he said, I'm to teach Yahweh's government, and we're to perform our vows. And the old Judah keep our solemn feast. Because he was teaching our congregation at Kermit that we were the tribe of Judah. Okay. So he says, so Brother Johnson ended up apostatizing in 2002. And he's the one that crucified the Savior fresh and put him to an open shame right there at Gilead Center. I witnessed it. Jason witnessed it. Okay. By saying we no longer have to keep the daily. We're next keeping, we're getting to the line. Well, that daily definitely will be restored, in the, earth made new of the 12th parabolic hour. Now that earth made new is going to start right here on this earth in the 12th parabolic hour in the probationary time. And I wrote a song to that. Just Holy Spirit, give it to me. And the earth made new where the skies are blue and the clouds are silver line. Okay. So he says, these are facts as certain as any other prophecy, and no one can successfully deny them or attempt to ignore them, but all would do well to profit by this knowledge and be a true disciple of the Yeshua. For the saints that were raised with Yeshua at his resurrection typify those who shall rise in the resurrection of the Daniel 12 too. For we are told, if the Moses represents the general resurrection, who then would represent the mixed or special resurrection of the Daniel 12 too? We have the one of Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints were slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. For the saints who had part in this resurrection were gathered from all ages, some who perhaps had lived at the very time that the Yeshua was preaching and were acquainted with him and his work, were the witnesses unto his resurrection. Read early writing, 184, Desire of Ages, 786. There is still another reason why Matthew 27:52 is a type of this mixed resurrection. Those who were resurrected with the Yeshua witnessed unto the very ones who crucified him. Speaking of this mixed resurrection, Daniel says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some unto everlasting life, and some unto shame and everlasting contempt. Then there will be some righteous included who lived and witnessed the crucifixion, also those who crucified him and pierced him. For Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Therefore the resurrection which witnessed of the power of the Yeshua unto those murderers, or the power of the Yahweh the Father, those murderers of his Son, typified the just who are raised in the mixed special resurrection. Special Rod. Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, 47-48. Still further regarding the resurrection of the Daniel 12, Daniel himself recorded the information when he had completed writing the great prophecies of the book of Daniel. And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood over other two, the one on the this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in the linen, which is upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be unto the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in the linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished or scattered the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12:5-7. Daniel here was told that all the things he had written in the book of the Daniel were to be finished at the end of the time, times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished shatter the power of the holy people. And since not all the wonders of the book of the Daniel have been finished instances, being the fall of the king of the north, the deliverance by the Michael, which is Yahshua, Daniel 12:1, the special resurrection, Daniel 12:3-4, it clearly indicated that the time has not yet passed, for the power of the holy people is the same as the power that is possessed by the two witnesses of the Revelation 11, for the power of the Yahshua's people is in the truth, in the Word. Coming back onto the typology for the Revelation 11, just as there was a numbered group constituting the first fruits of the Yahshua's labor, the 120 on the day of the typical Pentecost with the apostles of Acts 1:15, so the first fruits at this time number 144,000, Revelation 14:1. For the Pentecost of that time, and recorded in the Acts 2:1-7, is a type of the Pentecost recorded in Joel 2:28-29, which we look forward to in the commencement of the loud cry and the 12th parabolic hour, a time of the judgment of the living and a time of the harvest of the first fruits of the Adventist church, and then they continue on with the harvest of the rest of the world and the resurrection clear back to Adam. That's found in Revelation 18:1-4. And a multitude of such as should be saved that were brought in after the first Pentecost, Acts 2:41, 46-47, typify of the great multitude that shall be saved after the antitypical Pentecost on Revelation 7:9, Isaiah 66:19-20. How perfect is the word of the Yahweh? How great is his love unto the mankind? How solemn the time in which we live? Revelation 11 is indeed a solemn yet encouraging prophecy, and we dare not treat it lightly or ignore it, for it is a part of the more sure word of the prophecy and was given for the enlightenment and guidance of the Yahweh's people, not to fill space in the scriptures. But this knowledge, what manner of man ought we to be? Just as there was shown was a showdown in the time of both the types, Elijah and Yahshua's ministry, Revelation 11, indicates that there will certainly be a showdown today at the end of the 3.5 years allotted for the two witnesses to prophesy furthermore. So we're going to have that again. And typically Elijah David is going to have to confront all the false prophets of the Seventh-day Adventist Church of the General Conference in person. This is going to take place. There's a 3.5 year period appointed for this. And it's going to, I don't know when, it's going to be in the near future. It's one of the things that's going to have to happen. So pay attention to what I'm reading. Furthermore, it appeared unto the Elijah at the time of the showdown on the ancient Mount Carmel that there were no true worshippers of the Yahweh, although in reality there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. That was a type of the 144,000 today. So the 144,000, they don't bow the knee to Baal either, Bob, accepting that 3-in-1 person of the false Catholic doctrine of the Godhead, that the General Conference President Ted Wilson and all of his henchmen are forcing upon the membership of the Adventist Church worldwide. Likewise, at the time of the Yahshua's great trial it outwardly appeared. That his work had brought forth no result, yet a great harvest of the soul, such as should be saved, were afterwards disclosed to view. Therefore, let us no store up. Let us now store up the courage. So that word "no," it should be "now." Let us now store up the courage from these types and examples and the prophecies of the hour of the congregation's great trial just ahead, as well as the prophecies of the great harvest of the souls to come in afterwards, so that we may then with the courage look with the prophetic eye into the future as portrayed by the more sure word of the prophecy, and know that the Yeshua word will not return unto him void, and that we may rest in the comforting assurance that a knowledge of the truth shall verily cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hebrews Habakkuk 2:14. Actually, Isaiah 11, I think, 16 talks about the righteousness is going to cover the earth. Okay. Multitudes will surely be made to know of the saving truth after the earth becomes lightened with his glory and the trying but wondrously triumphant experience of the two witnesses. Okay. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Yeshua so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with the child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. Matthew 24:45-51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in a due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Brother, I say unto you, then he shall make him ruler over all his goods. This is who we are today. If we're faithful in restoring the sanctuary system back to its rightful order and perform our vows and keep the solemn feast, then Yahshua would appoint us as a ruler over all of his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day which he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. We are in a time of the decision. Let each of us choose to be a faithful wife and awake servant, that we may be prepared for the day of our visitation. For the further study of Revelation 11, the following text material is recommended. 11 Symbolic Code Number 1. November 1955, and 2TG15, and also Truck 5, entitled The Final Warning. This brings in verse 30. This shall contact us at the at 11thHourCall.com, and we're going to close now with a song.